Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to check in with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, the American Legion, and the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, the weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Maintaining personal readiness ensures that our force is physically and mentally prepared to execute the mission. It can be challenging for service members who drill one week in a month to maintain the fitness level of those on active duty. That's why every Minnesota National Guard unit has leaders to assist soldiers and airmen with maintaining fitness goals and healthy lifestyles. As the Army prepares to roll out the new combat fitness test, it's vital for our service members to take advantage of the resources their units provide. In the meantime, make sure you have a healthy eating plan, get 7 to 9 hours of sleep daily, and of course, drink water, preferably a minimum of 8 cups per day. Please join me in making a commitment to the health and wellness of our force so we can ensure the Minnesota National Guard is always ready.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Patrick Kelly, Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for inviting me back.
Director, this is we're doubling up. We had you on last week, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. I think our listeners and our veterans all have a lot of questions about the coronavirus, sometimes referred to as COVID-19. And we wanted to check in with you and see if you could explain to us a little bit about what that is and what people should do to avoid it.
Thanks, Tom, and I really do appreciate you giving me an opportunity to do that. And so, I think all of your listeners have had, have had the opportunity to see our governor and to see the president and see many, many other people talk about the national response to this pandemic. And the virus is, we've had these kind of viruses before, and so people could think about, remember, they remember H1N1, and they'll remember SARS, and they'll remember MERS, and some of these very scary and in some ways, sort of new or unknown viruses that come on the scene, and that is certainly what's going on with this COVID-19 virus, which, we're learning more and more about how it's spread. We're learning how to test it. Treatment is still a ways away. And so the real key, and what you're hearing from our governor and other places, is this issue of social distancing and making sure that, you're not contracting the virus or catching the virus, and you're staying away from people who might have it and you don't know it. And so, again, we are doing a number of things over in our hospital and in our community-based clinics, really all geared towards ensuring that veterans don't get the virus. Because if they get it, and especially if you're an older person, much greater risk. And the mortality is significant for those that get it that are older. For the most part, the younger kids are doing okay. May not even know they have it, but it introduces a pretty significant mortality risk for older veterans and older Americans.
And, Director, we're hearing over and over again the CDC has recommended that any gatherings of groups should be delayed by about 8 weeks. We're talking people, if they're sick, stay home. We've canceled all kinds of gatherings, wash your hands, don't touch your face, all of these things. But we're also finding that a number of facilities have closed down. A lot of businesses have sent their people home and told them to work remotely as much as possible. And of course, I'm wondering what you've done out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. I understand you're limiting access and trying to protect all the patients that are there.
Yeah, Tom, great question. And so we've done a number of things over the course of the last couple of weeks. We are actively screening all of the patients and visitors that come to our facility. We're asking them questions about their health. We're asking about their travel. We are trying to identify those veterans prior to their coming into the medical center, in order that they don't expose others when they get here. So we actually just today initiated a no visitor policy, where we are going to allow visitors only under really extreme circumstances. So if there's a veteran who's in our hospice program, or they're in critical care, but routine sort of normal visitors to hospitals, as you think about it, we are going to screen those visitors and let them know that they can't come into the medical center because we can't afford that kind of a risk. So we are doing active screening for outpatients. We have much tighter restrictions in areas where we have our sort of our nursing home type beds. We refer to that as a community living center, and our spinal cord injury center, where we typically have older and more vulnerable veterans. And you know, you many of your listeners would have seen out in Kirkland, Washington, how this started in a nursing home. And with that population, you have to take extra precautions to make sure that they are not being exposed. And so no visitors, no shared meals. We are actively screening, taking the temperature of all of our staff to make sure that when they're in there, that they are safe and they are not spreading this virus. And we're monitoring all of these patients every day. So we've really stepped it up with that group. We have canceled or closed our adult day health care center, which impacts about 50 veterans, but again, all in the name of ensuring that we don't bring a group of veterans together who are at the highest risk. This week, just a Tuesday of this past week, we ceased doing non-urgent elective surgery, Thursday, March 19th, the governor is coming out with an executive order that will dictate that all Minnesota hospitals cease doing non-urgent elective surgery. We have also discontinued doing dental procedures. So many of your listeners will know if they get their dental care out in town that their dental offices are closed for about 3 weeks, and they're getting phone calls to say that, you know, don't come in for your dental exam because unless it's an emergency, we are not doing dental work during this period of time. We are also doing many, many more of our outpatient visits and our outpatient work virtually. So we're contacting veterans and we're saying, look, let's do it by phone. Let's do it over video telehealth. And what we are finding is that many of our veteran patients very much welcome this. You know, they're concerned about the coronavirus. They don't want to come into the hospital, which is smart. I mean, again, avoid the hospital if you can. So we're doing much of that work outside of the hospital, but still seeing them for what it is that they need.
We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Director, we just got a few minutes left. If one of your patients, if one of the 100,000 or more veterans that get their health care at the Minneapolis VA are feeling sick, what should they do? How should they go about contacting their doctor and getting help?
Thanks, Tom. That's a great question, and I have some very clear guidance on that. So we have a call center. The number is 612-467-1100. In our call center, we are asking these screening questions, and they will advise you. You may talk to a nurse who's going to do some triage. You may talk to a physician who will advise you, but they will listen to what it is you know that you tell them with respect to your symptoms, your travel, and then they will advise you. It might be to report to an emergency room. It might be to stay home and effectively kind of quarantine in place. But if they call that number, 612-467-1100, our call center is geared up to make those recommendations and advise them on the best next steps.
All right, Director, very good. But if some of our veterans really think they've got this virus, if they call the hospital and are on the way, you plan to meet them out in the parking lot, I understand.
Well, you know, it's if we knew in advance that a veteran was coming with those kinds of symptoms, we would try to get to them prior to their approaching our active screening line. Likely, we wouldn't know that, and so what would more likely happen, Tom, is they would get into our active screening line, and once they're identified with these symptoms, we then get them in a private treatment room and take care of them when they get here. So we are absolutely not turning people away, but I think we to the extent that veterans can call that phone number that I've given you, they can get the advice and then potentially not come to the hospital. It's not good for them, not good for other patients. But by all means, if they think they're having an emergency, they need to come to the hospital. I don't want to discourage that, but I think the call center and the advice that they can get through that triage system is really good for all patients.
So for all our veterans and all our listeners, if you got a problem and you need help from the VA Medical Center, VA Healthcare Center, the CBOX, call 612-467-1100, and they'll give you the advice you need and tell you where to go for help.
And, Tom, that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So anytime, after hours, during normal work hours, call that number.
Director, I appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule to give us these words of wisdom. And if anything changes, please let us know, and we'll get announcements out to our listeners.
I will do that, Tom. Stay safe.
Thank you, Director. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to another VA doctor about the NIH All of Us program. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me this segment is Dr. Mark Klein, who is a staff physician in the hematology oncology section at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and an associate professor of medicine at the University of Minnesota. He's also the local site investigator for the NIH All of Us program. Dr. Klein, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Sure, I'm anxious to find out about this program. Can you tell us what the NIH All of Us program is about?
Oh, yes, definitely. So the All of Us Research Program is a nationwide program that's got significant funding from the NIH, which stands for the National Institutes of Health, which is the major research arm of the United States government. Their goal right now is to determine how genetics and other similar types of laboratory testing and various other things are associated with disease in people in general. So right now, their goal is to accrue 1 million people across the United States to this particular program and gain certain clinical and other related health information from patients. And along with that, they will obtain blood samples and urine samples and sometimes spit or saliva samples and then send that for testing to see if they can determine if there are relationships between genes and other things called proteins or other parts, other chemicals in your body with the health of the population in general. Currently, the program is similar to another program that people may have heard of called the Million Veteran Program. It's slightly different. We have both programs here at the Minneapolis VA. We are one of only two sites in Minnesota that has the All of Us program, actually. The only other site, I believe, is in Duluth. And NIH and the VA got together, and they're trying to accrue 100,000 veterans to both programs so they can have a comparison group. The difference between the programs is that it's a bit more involved being the NIH program, but your blood samples information are protected, and there'll be a lot more testing, and we'll be able to determine between the two.
Now, Dr. Klein, I signed up for that MVP program some years ago.
Yep.
And when I did that, my understanding was that they anonymously shared my medical records and were trying to get the medical records of enough veterans so that they can take the information they learned from studying the veterans and share it with the general population. Now, it sounds like this NIH All of Us program is a little more in detail. And as you said, we have to give some blood samples and so forth. So this one takes a little bit more time.
It takes more time. So right now, the NIH decided to be a little bit more extensive. The VA set down great groundwork and was really at the forefront, and they had the idea to do it. And then the NIH is building off of that idea. And so now they saw that the VA had a good start with that. Now they're adding some of the more bells and whistles. And so what they're doing is when you come in to a visit, now right now the in-person visits are being paused, but you will be able to call in, because we can do almost everything electronically over the phone, and then the research coordinators can do a lot of things over the phone, and then when the current situation with the coronavirus settles down, we'll be able to bring people in to do other parts of the study and collect blood samples. But right now, the way it stands is you come in, you spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours with a research coordinator going over all the details of the program, filling out surveys, watching videos, and then doing a consent form. That allows you then the program to connect to your health records across the country for a long period of time. After that's done, what we do is draw 8 tubes of blood, which sounds like a lot, but it's really 50 milliliters. So it's really just a little bit more than a few teaspoons, and take a urine sample. If they can't get a good, if they don't poke you, indefinitely or a high number of times, if a couple sticks, with a needle doesn't work, then they take spit or saliva instead to get what they can. The blood samples are then picked up by a courier from the Mayo Medical Labs, and every blood sample in the Mayo in the country goes to the Mayo Medical Laboratory for processing, and then eventual testing. That some of the testing is going on now, and some testing will be going many years down the road. And eventually, what the NIH will do is to take all this information and make a computerized platform on the internet in a de-identified fashion for researchers around the country to gain access to in one form, and then other forms we get other researchers to be able to do that. So we might be able to find ways to study diseases and find susceptibilities that we didn't for. So one example would be is maybe, you know, if you do have a susceptibility to a virus, maybe we'll find a genetic reason why some people are more susceptible than others, things like that. Those are possibilities that can be found. Every time we see these studies go on, it's just amazing that of what information we find that we didn't think of before.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Klein from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military. Doctor, assume that in doing this study and collecting all this information, that once again you're trying to figure some things out that you can share with the general population?
Oh, absolutely. So they're also, as part of this too, so that will be shared with the population, and there's a whole branch of the program that's dedicated to educating the population and trying to figure that in a way that works best for how people learn. There will also be working on, as part of the consent process, is getting back to people their own genetic information. So there are about 30,000 genes in everybody's cell. So you can't just give someone a list of all the genes and this is what happens. They're going to try to get information back that's in a knowledgeable way back to them that makes sense and that's useful. And one of the issues will be, though, is as we get information, how to update that, because what we might think is not really a big deal now could become a big deal in 1, 2, 5, 10 years. And so that's being a very active part of discussion regarding that process.
So, Doctor, with our listeners, our veterans signing up for the All of Us program at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, it's another way they can serve their country and help you collect data. And now, who's eligible to join, and how do they go about doing that?
Anybody that can any veteran is eligible at this time at our VA. Right now, since we can't do it in person, we are asking people to go to a website to learn how to do that, or call a phone number. So the first one would be to go to www.veterans.joinallofus.org, or call the number 833-805-0426. That will be an easy way. The call center will then forward you your information, and then we will be able to contact them to call them and try to do what we can online right now and set up an appointment when everything settles down for drawing the necessary samples.
So once again, that was veterans.joinallofus.org if you want
Correct.
To sign up for this program and help you do some research that can maybe help all veterans and all the rest of the people in the United States. But hold off a little bit until we beat this coronavirus, because Dr. Klein needs you to come in and give him some blood samples and urine samples.
That's exactly right.
Doctor, it's been great talking to you today. I hope your program proceeds and does well. And in the meantime, take care of all our veterans out there at the Minneapolis VA.
We're happy to do that. You bet. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us today.
All right. Have a good day.
That was Dr. Mark Klein from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll be joined by the Department of Minnesota American Legion. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk with Mark Dvorak, who is the department commander of the Minnesota American Legion. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
In partnership with the Women's Veterans Initiative and the YMCA, MDVA will provide a day of camaraderie and wellness for women veterans in Minnesota. Breakfast and lunch will be provided, along with breakout sessions and workshops, a few which will include self-care, massages, Reiki healing, and yoga. This year's keynote speaker will be a survivor of the 2009 Fort Hood, Texas shooting. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org/Women Veterans. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to Minnesota Military Radio. www.wmcaradio.com. Joining me now is Mark Dvorak, who was elected as the 103rd Department Commander of the Minnesota American Legion at the annual convention held in Wilmer. He served in the United States Air Force and also was a career NCO in the Air National Guard. And his bride, Linda, is currently serving as the 3rd District Commander. Commander Dvorak, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. Glad to be with you again.
Commander, you're serving in some uncertain times. We have a coronavirus hitting the world, and of course it's hitting the United States now and here in Minnesota, and something that I imagine you didn't contemplate when you took office.
No, not at all, Tom. And hey, Doug, glad to see you're on the line, too.
But yeah, thanks, Mark. Good to be here.
Yeah, we're sort of handling the situation as it comes here. We're canceling a lot of events as we speak, and we're sort of following what the CDC guidelines are right now and then what our governor is instructing us to do. So that's where we're at right now, and we're going day by day, week by week right now, and we try to get the information out the best we can to all the entire Legion family throughout the state of Minnesota.
Commander, have you been getting a lot of questions from your membership on what do we do, how do we get information? A lot of the posts, I assume, are mostly closed now. And are you doing buddy checks?
Yes, we are, Tom. In fact, a lot of the information is being disseminated by our state adjutant, Mike Muxa. And again, that's a day-by-day kind of message we're getting out, and the Legion posts are closed right now. And a lot of them are trying to determine right now whether they want to sell food, the ones that have restaurants, to go kind of thing, like some of our local restaurants are doing. So I think people are doing what they can to abide by the restrictions we have right now. We're doing the best we can with it.
Well, I think the buddy checks are a great idea, and I'd encourage all of our veterans out there, call your fellow veterans, those that are staying in place at home, make sure they're all right, make sure they've got enough food and all the things they need.
That's correct, Tom, and we are doing that, definitely.
Now, Mark, I've been following you on Facebook, and seems like you're out to Washington, D.C. quite often. There's a lot going on for the National American Legion on the legislative agenda, isn't there?
That is correct, Tom. Yeah, a group of us went out there. We spent about 4 days out there. And a week ago this past Wednesday, we came back early evening from Washington, D.C., and we have quite the agenda for this legislative season for the 116th Congress. And we were all divided up, and we met with all our representatives or their aides and our two senators or their aides, and it went very, very well. And if you want, I could touch on a few of the topics that are either in a Senate bill right now or a House bill, and one or two of them actually have been passed, the way I understand it, by the House already. So if you want me to cover a few of those, of these, I can.
Give us a couple of quick highlights, Commander.
Yes, sir. Okay, the big concern among our current veterans that have served during the Gulf War are certainly the toxic exposure and the burn pits. And our main item there that we're focused on is the American Legion supports measures to establish a presumption of exposure. And when our national commander testified on Wednesday in front of a joint session of the Veterans Service Committee, they were all very receptive of all our items, and all our legislators support our entire agenda here. And, of course, the suicide prevention efforts are very important to all of us, and that's a joint venture, and we're doing our best with that. And certainly we support the VA's suicide prevention efforts on that. And as you know, the Coast Guard didn't receive pay when the government shut down here about a year and a half ago. And the Legion stepped up and provided over $1 million to some of these younger Coast Guardsmen and women who had dependents so they could buy food, pay rent, get gas for their cars, because they all had to work. And there's a bill in front of the Senate and the House right now to prevent that from ever happening again, where they fall under the Department of Defense for pay, not Homeland Security. Should I give you one or two more, Tom, or is that enough?
Well, that's a good start, Commander. We're talking to Mark Dvorak, who is the Department Commander of the Minnesota American Legion on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, I know you also wanted to talk about the Legion Act.
Yeah, briefly on the Legion Act. I'm asking, you know, our post to keep that out there. The Legion Act was signed last year by the president, and the eligibility goes back to December 7th, 1941, the current date right now for Legion eligibility. And if a person has one day of active duty and an honorable discharge, we all know that some veterans went through basic training that for some reason medically they could not make it through basic training or onward to training. But these people are eligible to join the Legion. We consider them veterans. So we need to keep getting that message out. It's not getting out like we thought it would get out, but there's over 4 million veterans now that are eligible to join the American Legion, and we want them to be part of our family.
Well, let's sign them up, Commander. And I know you also wanted to mention something about the Legion Legacy Scholarship Fund.
Yeah, the Legion Legacy Scholarship Fund, you know, that's been around, I suppose, a little over 10 years now, and our riders, they ride two weekends in August to raise money for this fund. And all this money goes to 9/11 veterans, you know, that lost their lives, their children, I should say. And it's for the kids and for post-secondary education. But we were so good at raising money throughout the nation that about 3 years ago, we opened it up to a veteran that's 50% or more disabled, as determined by the VA, and the state of Minnesota raised $130,000 last year, and we're over the million mark from the state of Minnesota over the last 10 years. And this past year, out of the National Fund for the American Legion, we gave out over $744,000 to the kids to support them.
Great work, Commander. Sir, we've only got about a minute left. I know you're very concerned about everyone in Minnesota, and especially all of our veterans in Minnesota and all those American Legion members. Do you want to tell them a little bit more about Buddy Check and what to do and how to keep track of each other?
Yeah, I have a couple comments there. You know, we have lots of information out there about Buddy Check, and we're putting it out there on Facebook and emails every day. But, Tom, you were an Air Force veteran, and I was too. And part of our motto, you know, being an Air Force veteran, was service before self. And that's exactly what the American Legion family does. They're out there every day trying to make a difference. And you mentioned, you know, helping the elderly out, helping out food shelves, and that's what they're doing. I see examples of it every day. And myself, for one, I'm very proud to be a part of the American Legion family. And I just want to say God bless our American Legion family and God bless America.
Very good, Commander. I know you're having a really busy year, way busier than you imagined, but keep up the good work. Take care of yourself. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to your new communications director, Tim Engstrom. Thanks for joining us today, Commander.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Doug, for all you're doing.
All right, Mark. Have a great day.
That was Commander Mark Dvorak from the Department of Minnesota American Legion. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about coronavirus. We've been talking about some things going on at the Minneapolis VA. We had the commander of the Minnesota American Legion on the third segment, and now we're joined by Tim Engstrom, the Director of Communications for the American Legion Department of Minnesota. Part of that role, he edits the Minnesota Legionnaire newspaper, which reaches around 76,000 homes across the state. He is also baseball secretary, webmaster, and social media coordinator. Tim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, we've had a really big year. Nobody anticipated that a virus would sweep across the world and across the United States and hit here at home in Minnesota. And we just talked to Commander Dvorak, and he's been really busy on legislative issues and providing some information. And I understand that you've got a special page on your website that has some information on it for our veterans.
Yes, we're maintaining a page that has updates from all the different segments of the military community here in Minnesota, from Legion, DAV, VFW, Veterans Day on the Hill, everything from the military museum to the roundtables. You know, several Vietnam War Veterans Day programs are canceled. You know, as much as we can think of, we're putting information up onto that page. Our entire website is set up to send people to that page.
What's the address of your website, Tim? What's the address of your website?
It's mnlegion.org.
mnlegion.org. Special page there with all of the updates for our veterans if they want to find out information about the coronavirus and what's going on to try to help them get through this difficult time. And, Tim, speaking of a difficult time, you are now the editor of the Minnesota Legionnaire, which was our prior editor, had that for a couple of decades, did a great job, Al Zidan. You had some big shoes to fill coming in and taking that over.
Yes, Al has been great. We worked together for 3 months from October to December, and he was very helpful. And then since then, he's been quick to reply to emails or his 24-hour emergency service phone number that he provided me. And, you know, a lot of the stuff he was able to show me, but it wasn't baseball season. So now he's helping me with baseball things here and there as that comes up.
So in case of emergency, call Al Zidan.
Yes.
Nice of him to be there.
He wasn't going to give me his cell phone number when he left, but then when he left a pin on the bulletin board that said 24-hour emergency service with his phone number.
Well, you might want to call him a couple of times, Tim, so he doesn't get lonely. He was pretty busy for a long time in your role.
He was. He was.
Now, how tough is it to
do a story on what Al Zidan's doing now? That should be a story in itself.
Well, that should be the first story for the next book that you put together, just like he did. How tough is it to put the Legionnaire out each month?
I'm sorry?
How tough is it to pull that together every month, the Legionnaire newspaper?
It can be a challenge because you're trying to get a lot of different things moving at once. It's like the guy on the cruise ship who spins all those plates. You know, with a typical newspaper, you have an editor and a separate department from the circulation person and a separate department from the advertising person. And here, I get to be all the departments in one. So it's, Al told me this, that this is the second largest newspaper in Minnesota after the Star Tribune, except it only comes out once a month instead of every day.
Very good, Tim. I've seen your first few issues and they look great, so keep that up. I understand you wanted to tell us a little bit about the Legion Act today.
Yes. The Legion Act has opened up membership to a wider array of veterans, largely by recognizing the fact that America has been in a state of wartime or wartime preparation since December 7th, 1941. So that, you know, that makes sure to include all those veterans who served during the Cold War. You know, maybe they were at missile silos and other things that were, you know, very crucial to the mission that America was going through at the time. And so now they are all eligible for the Legion, and it has opened up membership to approximately 6 million veterans. And I think nationwide, our numbers are looking really good this year, and I hope that we can continue recruiting young veterans into our organization.
So if our listeners out there want to know whether or not they're eligible to join the American Legion, how do they go about figuring that out?
Well, did they raise their hand and swore that they would defend their country, and then did they serve at least 1 day of active duty? Anytime between now and December 7th, 1941. If you meet those conditions, you're eligible to join the American Legion.
All right. And as soon as we can beat this coronavirus, then they can go to their local post and sign up and get active and be part of the numbers that we present up at the state of Minnesota when we're talking to the state legislature about veterans issues.
That's right. One thing I like to say a lot about the Legion is we have an array of programs, so it allows the veterans who join us to have almost like a smorgasbord of what they like to do. If maybe this veteran prefers to work with youth sports, we have youth sports programs. If this veteran maybe prefers to do legislative, they can help us do legislative. If this veteran wants to help other veterans with rehabilitation, we have a deep history with veterans rehabilitation going back to the start of the VA itself. So, you know, those are just a small sample of some of the things we do, but that's the great thing about the Legion is you have a lot of options to choose which way you want to do your post-service obligation.
Very good, sir. We're talking to Tim Engstrom, who's the Director of Communications for the American Legion Department of Minnesota. And Tim, I understand you wanted to tell me a little bit about vet centers, how many there are in Minnesota, and do we need more locations?
Yes. We have three in Minnesota. Two of them are in the North Metro, pretty much. The St. Paul one's in New Brighton, and the other one is in Brooklyn Park. And then the third one is up in Duluth. So you can imagine if you live in southern Minnesota, I used to live in Albert Lea, and nobody in southern Minnesota wants to go to the North Metro to do anything. About once you get to downtown, that's kind of where they stop. So you can imagine, and that's just everybody who lives down there. So I think there's a lot of people who live in rural Minnesota, and I shouldn't say I think, it's documented. There's a lot of people who live in rural Minnesota that could use vet centers services that they don't have access to vet centers. Minnesota is one of the states in the country that has the worst numbers when you look at the ratio of vet centers to veterans. And we don't even have an active military post to go with it. So we're very much an outlier for that. We've got a letter from all the, it was led by Colin Peterson's office, Representative Colin Peterson, but all the House delegation from Minnesota signed it. And then another letter from Senator Klobuchar's office, also signed by Tina Smith. And those two letters went to Secretary of the VA, Wilkie, advocating for additional vet centers in Minnesota. Some of the locations that are strongly being considered are Bemidji, St. Cloud, and Mankato.
Tim, we're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and we wish you all the luck in the world as you edit the Minnesota Legionnaire going forward. Hope you have as much success as Al did.
Thank you very much, Tom. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you, sir. Look forward to talking to you. That was Tim Engstrom, the Director of Communications for the American Legion Department of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Doug Wortham, former Command Sergeant Major from the Minnesota National Guard, and he's going to be one of the hosts for next week's show. Doug, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom. Great to be with you again today, as always, of course.
Doug, a lot of things going on all over the country, all over the world with the coronavirus, and it's causing some issues for a couple organizations, and I just want to talk about that a little bit. We got a message from retired Major General Neil Leutholt, and he was telling us that the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans has 43 clients living in transitional housing, and they're starting to see some shortages. If you've got the list there, what are they short of?
Yeah, you know, it's good to bring that up. And, you know, things they're looking for specifically are rolls of toilet paper. About 160 rolls are in need right now, and 24 rolls of paper towels, 24 bottles of hand sanitizer, 12 bottles of all-purpose cleaner, and then about 12 or 14 bottles of laundry soap. That'll help them get through. And they're always trying to keep that two-week supply on hand so they don't run out.
And if you can help them with that, just go to macv.org and you can figure out where you can bring that. They can't stockpile too much, so that if you want to help with more, every third Saturday is also looking for similar pieces of
Yeah, they sure are. Every third Saturday is an organization that helps veterans and military families as well. And they're accepting donations every day except for Wednesdays. And they will accept donations from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And again, they're looking for perishable types of foods, and things can be dropped off. Anything that's unopened, they'll take. And of course, toilet paper and things like that are also on that list, to include sanitizers and cleaners.
And they asked us to read that notice. The current situation is increasing the number of veterans in crisis. Donate to your local veterans organizations if you can. The metro area supplies like toilet paper, sanitizer, and cleaning items, as well as non-perishable food items, can be dropped off at every third Saturday, 303 East 54th Street, Minneapolis. Doug, at this section, every show we usually have on the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and of course, their missions have been impacted by the coronavirus, and they're saying, like many others, they're taking proactive steps to encourage the safety and health of their members, the families they're honoring, and the communities. And some of those include including frequent hand washing, frequent use of hand sanitizer, staying at home when sick, and if needed, following self-quarantine guidelines as outlined by the CDC. And they're recommending some precautions for the Patriot Guard riders.
Yeah, they sure are. Of course, the safety of the riders and everybody at the events is first and foremost. So, you know, things like maintaining that 6-foot standoff distance or social distancing. And that actually works really good for the flag lines because it makes that look nice and neat and clean with the flags there. And, of course, eliminating...
There's the Sergeant Major coming out in. Yep.
That's right. Eliminating that physical contact, you know, with the family, the friends, or other members. And and then here's the big one, though. Again, if anybody's feeling any of those signs of sickness, showing anything, we're just asking them, the Patriot Guard is asking everybody, just be thoughtful and considerate to the family of the guests, and to just stay home. Don't come and put anybody at risk.
So the bottom line here is the Minnesota Patriot Guard is open for business. It's all about honor, dignity, and respect. And if you lose someone in your family who's a veteran, just go to Minnesota Patriot Guard and send in a message. And the riders will show up, but they're going to act just a little bit differently because they have to be careful, show that social distancing, but they're still there to respect those as we've lost.
And that's the key thing right there, Tom, is they want to continue to support. They will continue to support. They just have to be asked or invited to be there, and they will be there.
Doug, thanks for helping with these messages, and I look forward to listening to the show next week that you and Jason Burley put on, and maybe I can learn a couple of things.
Yeah, that sounds great, Tom. Thanks.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Dr. Mark Klein from the VA, Mark Dvorak from the Minnesota Department of American Legion, Tim Engstrom from the American Legion, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk to a Gulf War veteran and meet the Yellow Ribbon team from one of our bigger Minnesota companies. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I hope you all stay safe out there and follow the directions so that you can be with us week after week all year. This is Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.